Hour number three of Sports Talk begins. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. And we always welcome Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com to the program, mostly on Mondays. And he joins us once again to talk Tennessee hoops, Tennessee football, you name it. Rob, how are you?
Doing well, guys. Yourselves?
Can't complain. It was a rough trip. It was actually looked to be in hand, potentially, for Tennessee at South Carolina, a chance for a home-and-home sweep of the Gamecocks. But unfortunately, it was South Carolina that had the fast finish as opposed to the Volunteers. What were your takeaways from Saturday evening?
Yeah, just really let one slip away, John. I mean, you can point at any number of things for, you know, why Tennessee lost. I mean, before we even get to the end of game situation, I mean, the final 4 minutes, I mean, Tennessee really lost the thread. They get a bucket to go up six from Eve Pons with 3:50 left. It's 58-52, and, I mean, you're feeling pretty good about the Vols' chances at that point in time. And then they make just one shot after that and have four turnovers in the final 2 minutes, which is just a recipe for destruction in what was essentially a one possession game for that late. And 17 of 28 at the free throw line, that's a killer, and 20 turnovers in total for the game. I mean, you look at those two numbers, and it's kind of miraculous that Tennessee was basically up six with under 4 minutes to play.
Yeah, that is a fair point. And yet a team that all of a sudden could not throw it in the ocean when it came to the charity stripe, South Carolina found the right man at the line to get that one across the finish line, didn't they?
Yes, they did. I mean, and hats off to South Carolina. I mean, they're not a great team, but they're a reflection of their head coach. Really tough, very physical. I mean, good gracious, I think there were 52 fouls called in that game. And I mean, they had a guy, you know, two guys playing with four. Tennessee had, you know, Viscovi had four late. I mean, Gaines had four. And you kind of felt like it was going to be that way after the first game. I mean, it was 56-55 mm-hmm. here in Knoxville. And, you know, both those teams, at least Tennessee this year, play a similar style of basketball. I mean, it's neither one of them is great offensively. Although South Carolina had gone through a stretch where they were putting up some points, but Tennessee has struggled all year to score, did so again. And you kind of felt like they might be finding something. They scored 82 points against Arkansas. That's the most they put up since the second game of the year. But none of that was in evidence in Columbia.
No, and again, we talked about it last Monday. When you look at this stretch before what will be five killer contests to close out the season, because after tomorrow night, you've got Auburn twice, you've got Florida here, you go to Arkansas, you go to Lexington, and so Tennessee had an opportunity, and again, as we were talking about, had the opportunity in hand to get what would have been a nice feather in their cap and improve to 7-5 in conference play if they had been able to finish in Columbia. Now you've got Vanderbilt and the hope that you won, take care of your business tomorrow night, but then you also have to get two of those last five if you hope to have any part of the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's I talked about this earlier today. It was a situation where I think the loss hurt you more than the win would have helped you, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I mean, it wouldn't have been a great, you know, wouldn't have been a quality win or anything of that nature. But to take that loss with the way the last six, you know, shape up on the schedule, I think I guess Tennessee's technically, you know, their NCAA tournament hopes are technically still alive, but man, they're on life support. I mean, really.
Long shot.
I would kind of speculate that they might need to go 5-1 in these last six. Maybe 4-2 might get it, but, you know, and if you do go 4-2, you've gotten a quality win somewhere, either over Kentucky or Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe you throw Florida in that conversation. They're a tournament team, and they're finally starting to look like everybody thought they would look back in the preseason. But maybe 4-2, you finish the season, what is it, 18-13, you go to Nashville, maybe you get a win or two in the tournament to get to 19 or 20. You know, I guess it's possible, but I think if you want to, you know, really feel like you've taken care of business and given yourself a great chance, I think you need to go 5-1, hit Nashville at 19-12, and maybe pick up a win there in the first round of the SEC tournament. 20-12, that would be. I mean, I don't think this team has it in them personally. I mean, you go 5-1, that means you've either beaten Kentucky or Auburn on the road. And I think that's too tall of an order for the squad.
And Rob, to your point, even if they were, let's say they do go 5-1, two of the wins that you would point to most likely, if you're looking for wins, you're going to be at home against Vanderbilt tomorrow night, and then maybe Florida at home. I mean, you can keep going after that. But even if you get those two, neither one of those two are quadrant one wins. That means to get to five, you'd have to beat three of the Kentucky, Auburn, Arkansas trio. Those would give you quad one wins, but even if you win those three, you're still 4-7 in quad one. So they can make this great run against good competition and still have a very bad record in that area where you're compared to others in making your case for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I just, again, Vince, I don't like their chances. And in fact, I mean, I'm not trying to be pessimistic or Debbie Downer, but I think the more real concern for this team is, can they make the NIT?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not unthinkable that they go 1-5 in these last six. I mean, I don't know that will happen. I'll pencil Vanderbilt in after that. I don't think there's a gimme.
There were two Power 5 conference teams last year with net rankings in the 30s, NC State and Clemson, that didn't make the NIT last year. And so and Tennessee's net is 62 right now.
Yeah.
So there's no guarantee.
No, not at all. I mean, I think if they finish with 17 wins and, you know, win one in Nashville, get to 18, I mean, I think they have an argument, but it's not a lock by any stretch of the imagination.
Let's get a call from Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
I suppose there's nothing new on our much talked about running back out of Texas, I suppose.
No, I wouldn't look for anything to happen there anytime soon.
Yeah. Right. Now, is the whole month of February, is the whole month a dead period?
I think it is. Opens back up in March.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. I'm hearing some Florida talk. But if it's a dead period and they're not being talking to Florida, then I don't know that anybody really knows whether that's the situation or not.
Well, they can still talk. I mean, you can still, you know, kids can still call. You just, no off-campus stuff, no official visits, and no home visits, no school visits.
Right. Okay. I forgot that the kids can talk to people, though, if they could reach them themselves. If they contact them themselves instead of the other way around. Listen, I wanted to ask you, the Slaughter kid, is right out of Georgia that I've heard y'all talk about, the defensive back type, whatever. There are reports, you know, everybody says he's physical. And some people claim he's extremely physical. Now, what about it, Rob? You give me the straight answer.
Is he physical
or is he extremely physical?
Slaughter.
Oh, I think, yeah, I mean, that's his reputation. Now, I'm not going to project him to be, you know, some kind of monster in the SEC. But, yeah, as a high school kid, that's what you would say is one of his calling cards, especially for a defensive back.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. How tall is he? About 5'11"? That's what I've heard.
Yeah, right, a shade under 6 feet.
Okay, and he weighs just a little over 200, doesn't he? Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this, I mean, these guys, Coach Pruitt, I mean, I think even 5'11 is a little bit short for what he's looking for ideally. So
right.
I think that speaks to me about what he thinks about his skill set.
Right. Okay. Well, okay, guys. I talked about this. I may have said something to y'all. I know I did when Brent was on last week. I've had a Vanderbilt fan down here in West Tennessee that keeps up the recruiting pretty good sometimes, and he had said about five times, I know, or six, that I'd heard him say that he thought Tennessee was going to get the Evans kid out of Texas. And then today he was talking about it with somebody, and they said, well, you know, us in Florida. Because who knows? You know, Brent Hubbs has said repeatedly that ain't no telling where on earth you'll end up.
Yeah, that's where I come down on it.
Right. But anyway, well, listen, y'all be good, guys. I'll leave y'all alone. I'm fixing to drink me some chocolate milk. And you hadn't lived until you got a gallon of chocolate milk in the refrigerator.
All right. Well, enjoy, Steve. We always appreciate the phone call. We'll get a break. We've got another segment with Rob Lewis coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The station where winners listen and listeners win. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Rob Lewis of VolQuest.com. It was an interesting piece that folks will find right now on VolQuest, and that is Tennessee football, the offense trying to overcome loss of veterans at receivers. If history's your guide, Rob, it's almost always guaranteed a step back offensively.
Yeah, that really interesting piece by Jesse Symington, if you're a member, I would encourage you to read it because it's not something that you normally, I don't think, really think that way. I mean, you look at a team that, oh, they lost three offensive linemen, or oh, they've got to replace the quarterback. But no, it's Jesse really dove into the numbers, and it's a big deal when you lose the kind of production that Tennessee did at wideout, replacing that. And obviously, you look at the roster, and there's just not somebody you can point to and say, well, that guy's going to step in and do what Juwan did last year, or do what Callaway did. Josh Palmer's has done some nice things, but is he ready to be your go-to guy mm-hmm. out of the gate? Ramel Keaton, I think, is a promising looking freshman, but boy, that's a big ask to ask him to come in as a sophomore and replace what they were given. And kind of the X factor to me is D'Angelo Gibbs, the transfer set out from Georgia last year, made a lot of noise in the scout team, but what is he going to be able to give you? So yeah, it's that was a really, really interesting take from Jesse, something that it was certainly not obvious to me about how big of an impact that is when you lose that, that kind of production.
So you think with the lack of numbers, Gibbs settles in at wide receiver versus going back to the secondary?
I would guess so right now. Yeah. I mean, I think that they just so obviously need help there. I mean, again, you got Josh Palmer. People forget about Brandon Johnson, redshirted. He's coming back, but he can help you, but he's not going to be a number one guy, I don't think. But really, the cupboard not quite bare, but it's just a few boxes of leftovers, still banging around in the pantry.
And with the numbers they have at the numbers they have at wide receiver, lack of, and the numbers they have at quarterback with a lot of numbers there, do you think Jimmy Callaway ultimately lands at wide receiver at some point?
Yeah, I don't know that for sure, but mm-hmm. I think that just – especially with what he can do with the ball in his hands. I don't know if you checked out any of his huddle highlights, but the kid is really skilled. I mean, he can go. He's not very underrated anymore. When he climbed the recruiting rankings quite dramatically as time wore on. But at the time Tennessee picked him up, he was sort of a hidden gem that, not a lot of people were on. Ends up, Oklahoma's chasing him. Kentucky was recruiting him to play quarterback. They were going to give him, the keys and give him a chance to do that. But at Tennessee, I just think slot guy is I'll kind of be surprised if he doesn't start out there.
And when you take a look at now what we have seen is a late ripple that goes through the coaching circles. You have Mel Tucker that moves from Colorado to Michigan State, and now Colorado, we'll see exactly what they do. They've named an interim, but you would imagine that there could be a couple of attractive openings. Any feel for, after Tennessee saw two on-field coaches and an administrator depart last week, that there could still be the possibility for change, or do you think the staff might just settle in?
I mean, you never say never, but to me, it kind of feels like things are static. But again, it's they're like dominoes. One head job opens up, and then suddenly, you see it has a ripple effect, as you said, throughout college football. But right now, I'm guessing that this is probably the staff will see it as pre-practice.
As for the Tennessee basketball team, Volunteers have Vanderbilt tomorrow night. And granted, Vanderbilt still has just the one win. It was an impressive one against LSU. But this is a team that's found a little bit more punch than it had when Tennessee went to Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they led Kentucky at halftime, I guess twice.
Yes.
Both times, but most recently last week. They've shown a little bit of a pulse. But Florida handled them pretty easily. I don't want to take anything away. I mean, Florida's playing really good right now. It's not a surprise that Vandy went down there and lost by 18 or 20 or whatever it was. But, man, as bad as Tennessee looked at times on Saturday night, I pencil one in for Tennessee right here. Just such a tough time scoring, and you never, it's hard to get your head around it, but can't shoot from outside this year. I think they're under 30% in the league. Maybe the worst three-point shooting team, which is something you never think about with Vandy, and just not a lot of offensive weapons at all.
Mm-hmm. And then you also look at the next opponent for Tennessee, which would be a trip to Auburn and a noon start. That's 11 a.m. local time. How surprised were you that going into the weekend, you had a three-way tie for first place, and then Kentucky by the end of the day went to sleep as the lone team in the top spot in the Southeastern Conference as both LSU and Auburn came up short?
Lost badly,
yes.
Both of them. Now, I was really LSU's all over the board. I mean, mm-hmm. Even when they win, I mean, it's by a fingernail here and there. But they just, I guess the score ended up looking a little closer than it was. But Bama handled in
yeah
easily, And I didn't get to see any of the Auburn game because it was going on when Tennessee was playing. But that one shocked me. I mean, with as tough as it is for Missouri to score points most nights, for them to just put it on Auburn like they did, that one was an eye opener. Crazy things happen on the road in college basketball all the time, but that was a significant upset.
And you look at the style of play and how it's gone for both LSU and Auburn, and you just kept thinking that, okay, they're going to right the ship. Everything's going to work out because LSU, as you mentioned, has been in nail-biter after nail-biter, but they've just found a way to get across the finish line in almost every instance as the winner in conference play. And then for Auburn, had a five-game winning streak, four of those games in overtime. So when they're down 13 at the half, you're thinking, okay, I wonder how it's going to play out in overtime in Columbia. Never got there. I mean, Missouri did a very nice job to its credit. I think it now has four conference wins, but that was certainly a nice one. And let's see, they have a win over Florida and they have a win over Auburn. Hard figure.
And again, you know, Florida was just...
Oh, yeah, and that was just unbelievable how that one played out.
And early in the SEC play, I don't know if it's chemistry or what, but it kind of feels like they've righted the ship a little bit here lately and, have looked good, but... I can't figure Auburn out. I mean, I've gone from thinking they were easily the best team in the league to now. I mean, after what you saw, not just against Missouri, but they jump on Alabama 16-0 and end up getting pushed into overtime and being lucky to escape there last Wednesday night. So they've got some chinks in the armor, but boy, when they get it going, they're tough. And I think it works to Tennessee's advantage this weekend having an 11 a.m. local start. Just maybe there's not as much juice in the building as there would be if it was later in the day. You know, people get in there late. But that, surprisingly, that can be a really tough place to play. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to go, but that's one of my favorite gyms in the league, the new arena they built. I think the best thing that they did was they didn't make it too big. You know, Thompson Bowling, as great as it is, it's kind of disappointing. You get 17,000 people in there, and it's, there's empty seats scattered all over the place.
One of the factors in that Missouri game that could end up impacting the Tennessee game on Saturday is Auburn didn't have their star freshman, Isaac Okoro.
Who is a baller.
He is. And so he has a hamstring injury. Don't know his status for Tennessee later this week. I guess if he plays in the midweek, we'll know. But that could hurt Auburn this weekend.
That'll be a big loss. But mm-hmm. even if that's the case, I think that's going to be a very tough task for Tennessee. One thing to watch in that one will be tempo. Tennessee, I thought, did a really nice job of controlling tempo against South Carolina, who during their recent successful stretch has been playing fast. I mean, scored over 75 points a game. And obviously, Auburn is going to want to get up and down the court in a hurry. And Tennessee didn't allow South Carolina to do that. Auburn is much more adept at it, so it'll be a tougher task.
Hey, in the Vandy game tomorrow, the first time the two teams met, Tennessee really showed that 1-2-2 three-quarter court defense. That's the game we saw it the most. We've only seen it sort of trickled in since then. Is that something you think they come back to tomorrow night?
I think they'll probably throw it in as a wrinkle. For sure. I mean, they work on it. I don't know why he's kind of gone away from that a little bit because mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty effective. And, he's not trying to get steals or, throw a ton of pressure out there. He's trying to, keep the other team from getting into their offense until around, 20 seconds left on the shot clock. And right. I thought against Vanderbilt, I'm not going to say that's the reason Tennessee won, but I thought it was a nice wrinkle.
You look at where, and we've talked about where Tennessee stands, and 6-6 right now, you've got six games left in the SEC. You look at the conference standings, and they've kind of seen as many as six recently projected for a possible spot in the NCAA tournament. You've got Kentucky, Auburn, and LSU, which lead the way. Arkansas is kind of doing a nice job of playing its way out. Why do you think it's been such a struggle? They did lose their second best player.
Well, I think that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know that team intimately, so I don't who may not be doing a great job, but I think losing Isaiah Joe has really hurt them. I mean, they're so small. They live and die by the three-pointer. He had made more than anybody in the league when he went out. So that's a big, big loss for them.
And then you also have Florida, which looks to be pretty solid. And as we've talked about,
the computers love Florida.
Yeah, and they're playing probably their best and most consistent basketball right now. Question is, can they keep it up?
Yeah, I think it feels to me like they've kind of turned the corner. No, I don't know that they can just roll the ball out there and win their, you know, their last six. But it just feels to me like they have figured something out. They didn't play great teams last week, but they played Texas A&M and Vandy and just, hammered both of them. And on the road at Texas A&M, they've been a tough out at, mm-hmm. at home for people. And
they're 500 in conference.
Yes, which is a surprise.
Yeah.
A really big surprise. I mean, nobody's talking about him, and that's not a great year, but I think Buzz Williams has done a really nice job with a roster that, you know, doesn't have a lot to love.
Yeah, I think they battle, and that's all you can hope for in year one as he made the switch that he did. And then you've got Mississippi State, which probably has been more consistently part of the conversation in terms of bubble teams. Alabama has been into and kind of fallen out of, but now probably climbing back into that bubble picture again. So do you think, would six be a high water mark?
I think six would be incredible. The four are obvious: Kentucky, Auburn, LSU, Florida, assuming they don't go off the rails here. I think those four are in. Mississippi State is a big question mark to me. Mm-hmm. They're 7-5 in the league, 16-9 overall. I don't think they're a no-brainer right now. And I'm really surprised they're 7-5 in the Southeastern Conference because I think they've got some talent on that team. I think they should be much better in my mind. I think Reggie Perry is one of the best big guys in the league. Weatherspoon, veteran guard, and Abdu Addo doesn't put up a lot of numbers, but he is a big-time shot blocker and rebounder. Outside of Kentucky, I think Mississippi State has the best front line in the league, probably.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question in that regard, just for they stumbled out of the gate, then they righted the ship, lost, I guess, at Kentucky, and then just really disappeared in the second half at Ole Miss, but came away with a nice one-point win at Arkansas as they held on for dear life at the end.
Yeah, they've got the talent. I mean, I could easily see them rattling off, you know, four or five wins in their last six here. And South Carolina, I'm really surprised at how they've been able to turn this thing around. I mean, I don't think they're in the tournament right now.
Mm-hmm.
As we were talking about off air, they got some bad losses. Stetson, Boston University, but they beat Kentucky. They went on the road at Virginia, and they managed to get it to 16-9 and 8-4 in the league. When I saw that team come in and score 55 points in Knoxville, I would not have thought for a moment that they would be in this position.
What's going on these days at VolQuest.com?
Well, got a little baseball coverage up there today. Ryan Shumpert doing a nice job for us covering the baseballs. We're staying, not a lot to cheer about right now, but we're covering the basketball team full steam ahead. As you mentioned a minute ago, football never stops. Jesse Simonton with a really nice piece if you're in analytics today. And we'll have the VolQuest.com chat tonight.
That's at 10 o'clock. Rob, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Rob Lewis of VolQuest.com.